Where's the love chapter? Well, no, that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is so much more than just the love chapter. Those 16 attributes of Christ and how to live in them is extraordinary and so difficult. I didn't realize how difficult or even how deep the 16 ideas or 16 attributes of Christ that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Oh, did you? Oh, thank you, darling. She already turned on the button because I always forget. And then I forget after to turn off the button. So anyhow, praise God. Thank God for my wife. Amen?
Amen.
For that. If she was not here, there would be so many things that would not be done. You know, and the things that are done, they wouldn't be done proper with or correctly without her. She is indeed more than my right hand. She is the one that comes beside me, and she is truly my helper. Amen. So praise God for that. And, you know, we've been going through charity for quite a while now, for several weeks, because we're in 9 out of 16 attributes of Christ. But before you even get into the attributes of Christ, you've got to realize about being the church, to be an overcomer. Make sure that you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. You must be born again. If you are not born again, you will have such a hard time to grasp the deep meanings of the Lord, the things that we're speaking of in Sunday school and from the pulpit on Sundays or Wednesdays or women's group or men's group. If you're not born again, you will not fully grasp or begin to grasp these realities that we speak of so fervently here. If you are born again, there are some pillars in your life that ought to be growing prevalently in each of our lives every day. You ought to have more of a prayer life. Amen. If you're born again, you ought to be desiring to pray. Studying God's Word, the same thing. Fellowship. And that's, I know I picked on Bonnie just a little bit when she walked in because I miss your smiling face. But if Jake was here, I'd do the same thing for him. When the body is not together working smoothly, I miss you because there's parts missing. We need that fellowship. Every time that the church doors are open or we have the opportunity to step outside of the world and come to a place to be refreshed, to be built up together, that's what the fellowship is truly about, is to make each other stronger in Christ. And the neat thing about fellowship is we don't have to like everything, but we are commanded to love one another, right? And so that love is, well, and then there's the witness of Christ. Being the witness, of not witnessing about Christ, but having a lifestyle that witnesses Christ in your life. So Jesus said, "Be ye my witnesses." And so being the witness of Christ, we ought to have things in our life. And those things start with charity. This is the better way that Paul and Jesus was writing about. Living the attributes of Christ in your personal life. Those 16 attributes are, I guess I could use a necessity. Really? Yeah, I mean, that's a good word. You need to have those in you to truly produce godliness out of you. If your vehicle runs out of gas or oil, it doesn't run good for long, right? It will peter out. Or if you have the wrong fuel in your vehicle, it will not run properly. If you have too much water in your gas or corn in your gas, it messes everything up, right? But if you have the right fuel in your vehicle, then you're able to go further. You are the vehicle of Christ. You're the vehicle of the Holy Spirit. He lives in you and through you. And if you put on the right things in your life, the right attributes, and live in those, God can use you better than what he can use you without those things. Not that God can't use you without these things that we're talking about, because he's God. He can. But if you really want to be overabundantly used by Christ, you must have the attributes of Christ in you, or you'd be known as a faker or a hypocrite. That's why Jesus warned the Pharisees of his times, "You hypocrites, you tombs full of dead men's bones, whitewashed sepulchres." Church, let's not be that way. Amen? Let's not be that way. And 1 Corinthians, we've gone over this several times, 1 Corinthians 13, talking about the characteristics of Christ, and we went over suffereth long, right? If you are the first thing that you need to understand is how to live with one another, suffering with one another. I mean, and not only suffering physically, but mentally, emotionally. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the matter of some is, when you see, as you see the day approaching. We need one another. I need to suffer with you, and I compare that in that teaching about how long Christ suffered with me. Right? How long did Christ suffer with you?
Right.
Or how long is he suffering with you? Because he ain't stopped yet, because you ain't made it yet. Right? So he's still putting up with you. That's why we need to put up with each other and love one another and walk in unity together with each other. We need to be kind one to another. All right? And more so in the body of Christ than outside of the body of Christ. Now, we can be kind to the unbeliever, no doubt. You know, but really and truly, the kindness that is going to draw the world to the body of Christ, to the church, is when I love you regardless of your sin, regardless of your shortcomings, regardless of how we may not like each other, some attributes in each other, we're still kind to one another. How often have you heard it said that the church kills their wounded? It ought not be that way. We ought to be able to come along beside each other with love and compassion and kindness and edify one another and build each other up in the love of God and not condemn each other. We get enough condemnation from our enemy. You know, Satan will condemn you plenty. You don't need it from the church. And so be kind to one another. You don't envy each other. Covet not. Do not covet another man's possessions, his wife, his maid servants, or his tractor. That's what we do. I covet your tractor, or car, or house, or whatever. I don't covet your spiritual gifts. God gave you spiritual gifts. They're for you. They're for you. Well, actually, God uses you and puts those spiritual gifts out from you. I will come along and glean from you and enjoy those spiritual gifts with you, but I don't covet what God has given you. God's given you the gift of sowing. I don't covet that. Amen? I have no desire to do that. He gives gifts of teaching. By the grace of God, I have that also, so I don't covet it. You shouldn't covet it from me. If you want to be a teacher of God's Word, well, study the Word of God to show yourself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed. All right. If you study it and you want to be used that way, guess what, John? He'll use you that way. He will bring it out of you. He'll pull it out of you. He will lead you into a teaching role. Amen. Might take years, right, Tom? John? Tom? Whoever you are, guy in the checkered shirt over there. Yeah, the old guy over there. And so, but in that we need to keep. And vaunteth not. You don't brag. Don't live braggadociously. Don't be puffed up. Don't behave unseemingly. Again, if we are the witnesses of Jesus Christ, when the world sees us, they shouldn't see us acting unseemingly, which is contrary to the witness of Christ in your life. And we talked about those things. Seeks not our own, is not easily provoked. Now, that's a big one that we all can work on. How easily are we provoked? Too easy. Amen? Too easy. I will get mad at the drop of a hat, so everybody keep your hats on. No. It happens to us, but we're not easily provoked. And then this week, which I really had to deal with some stuff about, is thinks no evil, right? Because I got thinking about it. It's hard not to think evil. I had a hard time describing this through Scripture and the Word of God. How do we think no evil? Because every time I think, it's pretty much evil. You know, unless I'm meditating on the Word of God or thinking about God, everything else is pretty self-centered, unrighteous. So how do we do that? I had a hard time just gathering my mind around it, so I did something I don't do a lot. I went to one of my commentaries, and I looked up what an individual wrote back in 1704. Matthew Henry wrote this in his commentary, and he says, charity thinks no evil. Charity cherishes no malice, nor gives away to revenge. All right? So this attitude holds with it the thought learning, leading to suspicions of evils to others. All right, charity hides or covers the faults that appear in other people instead of hunting them and ranking them and pulling the faults out for revenge. That's how Matthew Henry used that one scripture, thanks to evil. And then that brought me to scripture. That's the only time I use commentaries, really, is because I need thoughts, and sometimes God spurs that on. Matthew Henry was not God. His commentary is really neat, but it's not scripture. His thought on this idea is that charity has no malice. So I had to look up what malice is. It says, gives no way to revenge. I had to look up why a person would want to have vengeance on other people. And remembering that the Lord says, dearly beloved, this is in Romans, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. Vengeance belongs to God, not to us. So when I got thinking about that, and then God started opening up the scripture and pouring thoughts in that alley. See, sometimes when you're up writing scripture, preparing stuff, and you try to do things what you think it means, you need to back off and see what God really means by that. It isn't that you won't think any evil thoughts, but it does mean that the thoughts that you have are not in malice, maliciousness, or is it into hurting other people to get your way, revenge. We'll look into that, my brother.
About taking every thought captive.
Yeah.
And evil thought in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Amen. Amen. And so now you see, so the Holy Spirit's already working in it. Joshua and I did not talk about these scriptures beforehand. That's what I like about this church. It's not about me. It's not about what I've written. It's how God moves on this man, how God moves on that woman, this man, you know, and how the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, speaks his word. Amen. So we need to keep every thought captive, in control, thinking about those things. So before we get deeper into the scripture, again, I need to pray, okay, that the Lord would use this time to edify the body. Dear Father, we thank you so much. We come even now desiring your word, Lord God, that we would have our imaginations cast down, Lord, that we could meditate on the things of righteousness, of holiness, the things that charity really means, Lord God, these attributes of Christ indwelling in us, Lord Father, that we sin not against you. Lord, we pray for that. I pray that even now as I open up scripture and start looking through the word of God, Lord, that your voice would be heard. You, the Holy Spirit, would work through this vessel, Father, that your word would be glorified and the body of Christ would be lifted up, drawn together, made strong in the unity of our faith. Lord God, we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The first scripture that we're going to be looking at, and if the Lord willing, we'll look at several today, is James chapter 4. Say amen when you get there, because this stuff is important. If you don't have a Bible, you need a Bible, we'll get you a Bible. All right? The King James Bible, preferably. I got to throw that out there just to see the fish walk. That's it. And so in James chapter 4, are we there? Okay. If we start in saying verse 6, and we're going to be reading through and talking through verse 12, maybe even a little further than that. But anyhow, but he, God, giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Verse 11. Speak not evil of one another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil against the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Okay? Thinketh no evil. As James, through the Holy Spirit, is writing this, we don't need to think or speak evil of another brother. Okay? Who here needs to repent right now? Amen? Right? We don't need to, because when we do this, we start judging the law. All right? And you can't be a judge of the law and a doer of the law. Right. Either you're going to stand in your own self-righteousness and say, that person is not as good as me. I think evil of that person because he doesn't uphold the word of God the way I think he ought to. And I'm going to make myself not just a judge of the person, I'm going to judge the law because of that person. The word of God says don't let it be that way, especially among the brethren. I'm not supposed to anticipate evil or if he does something that I don't love or like, I should not speak out in evil against that person. We're supposed to build each other up. We're not supposed to devour our wounded. We're supposed to help our wounded. If one of us sin against another, I'm supposed to come to you, make that right with you, that we both can be united and brought closer with the right relationship of God. See, this is the better way. Instead of just looking at these 16 characteristics as something you read in a wedding or you flush through as you're just pushing through the book of Corinthians, you stop and start looking at this and how does this pertain to my life in a real personal way? How do I really think no evil of another human being? First, I need to humble myself in the sight of God. Stop thinking more highly of ourselves than what we ought to think. Humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. I am not better than you. All right, and I don't care what the thing is that's in your life. If I know that thing, it's not my job to condemn you or to judge you or to think evil of you because of that. My job and your job is to come along beside me, confront that evil that is there, that sin that is there, and help each other get better. Right? And that's where the world will see love inside of the body of Christ. True charity does not rip things apart. They don't separate when they don't like something. They confront it. They confess it. They work through it. They don't think evil of the other person. All right? How are we doing right now? How's that working in your life? I know in my life I need some heavy-duty bulldozer work in that thought process inside of me. Because it's not even in the church. You look at the political scene or the news scene or the different understandings of the scripture, right? And we automatically start to condemn one another instead of build each other up. I don't like what you say, so I'm not going to go there anymore. I don't like, and not even going there, but I'm going to start speaking evil of that person. I'm going to start thinking evil. This church, this body of believers here has been called a cult. And it's not so bad when the world calls us a cult, but when a member of this body goes somewhere else and calls us a cult, that bothers me. Okay. Now, Scripture tells me that I need to love that person even though they're doing that. That bothers me. Okay? I've got to be honest with you. It gets underneath my skin. Why? Because it's not supposed to be that way with the brethren. And it also shows me my personal fault. Although that's happening, I'm still just as guilty as they are because I'm thinking evil about the whole situation. And true love, true charity, doesn't think evil over that. I'm not supposed to judge another man's servant. Although we all serve Christ. I'm not supposed to condemn another man because he may be being led one way or another way different than what I think it ought to be. How often do we get into that? Well, you're not living Christianity the way I think you ought to live, so I'm going to think evil of you. Not only am I going to think it, I'm going to confess it, I'm going to dwell on it, and I'm going to pound it into my thought process trying to destroy what God is doing in you. I know this is a soft, easy sermon. I should have done this on Mother's Day. No, we are in the process of these things. Conjuring up evil or thinking of evil is the seed that breeds all types of sin-filledness in the individual. Conjuring up evil thoughts, not just vengeance is mine, but me thinking incorrectly of brethren because we don't agree on something. And so automatically in our human flesh, and this is a flesh problem, my flesh automatically wants to come against that person, think something vile of that person, because if I think something vile of you, it makes me feel better. You become like that Pharisee that stood in the temple and pounded on his chest. Oh no, he stood in the temple and prayed to himself. There's another person, the publican. And he said, Lord, thank God that I'm not like, oh, these other people. You know, I tithe, I do this, I do that, I fast twice a week, blah, 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 me, my. And at least I'm not like that guy. See, he was thinking evil of the other person that was in the same chapel to worship. Only one of those people came out of there justified. And it was not the one who was saying me, my, but it was the one who would not even lift his head up, but pounded on his chest, his breast, and said, Father, forgive me, a sinner. See, that's not thinking evil. When I start thinking that my self-righteousness is better than your righteousness, or the righteousness of God, of the righteousness that God is doing in you. See, we're all on different levels, right? Some of us have been in a church for most of our life and never read our Bible. We have that. We've got a lot of that in the church. And we have some folks that have not been walking with the Lord long, but they study, they eat, they feast on the Word of God every day. And so I can't take what I think is right for a different individual and put them underneath the burden of my thought process. Because charity thinketh no evil. We need to submit ourselves to God, seek Him in the fullness of our life. See, when we start conjuring, and that's really what it's thinking, it's conjuring in your own mind. How many of us, and I'm saying this to me because I do it a lot, and if my wife was here, she'd be going, amen and amen. I often think that I know the full of the situation. And I put my ideals into somebody else's thought process. Right? Anybody here got that problem? Amen? Because I'm seeing something, and I think that it's this. Well, I normally go off on the deep end on that, and I think the worst of the individual. I think evil, because they're not lining up to what I think is right. Is this getting to you, or just
amen?
Because sometimes these are really hard things, but what I'm trying to do is make it where we don't miss any spiritual blessing. And if we confront these things honestly and come up and really look at what it means to think no evil, charity thinks no evil, then God is going to start changing us in our thought process to bring more righteousness out of us, because we become less of ourselves and more like Him. But we need, see, for too long the church hasn't been tackling these harder subjects. They just blow through it as the love chapter. See, when I start thinking evil of somebody, I can't wait till you get yours. God's going to get you for that. Every wrong thing that you do, God's going to get you for that. And I can't wait till it happens. I can't wait just to see you crush under the weight of your own sin. Stop it. Because if they really crush under the weight of their own sin, they're going to be cast out to hell, and you should not glory in that at all. Instead, we should be moved with compassion, with a brokenness, understanding, but by the grace of God, there I go, right? I am not any better than anyone else. And when they come against you because you're living in righteousness, don't worry about that. Because again, the Lord says in Proverbs 20 and 22, say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. See, I'm going to get you for that. I'm going to strike out at you. I'm going to do it my way. The scripture says, don't do that. Wait on God. Do you think God is able to avenge for you?
Perfectly.
If I avenge for myself, somebody does something wrong to me, all I want to do is take and flatten their tires. I'm going to get you back. And it's evil. It's evil thinking. Your mindset goes that way. And once you start getting into that way, that pattern of thinking, you'll be surprised how deep and dark it goes and how quickly you get into that situation. Why? Because you tried to handle it in your will and not God's will. Your way. Who here has a testimony where you held your peace, your tongue, you were done wrong, and you did not give in to revenge, and then God handled that? And does God not do a better job than you can do?
Amen.
You know, yeah, I may have flattened all four of your tires and I feel good about it. I still went to jail for flattening all four of your tires. It did not, and it didn't bring that person to repentance. What it did is it brought that person to more anger.
Yeah.
I didn't flatten nobody's tires. Right? I'm using that as an excuse or as an example. But when I pray about it, yeah, God, this person really hurt me. But instead of me trying to be revengeful or think maliciously about that person and degrade that person, Father, keep me humble. Help me to seek you. Help me to resist the devil, that thought process. And then God does something miraculous in you. He gives you peace in the midst of that trouble. And then somewhere down the line, God balances the books. You may not ever know it. You may not ever even know as you forgive and you love that person, that ideal, you change the way that you thought about that and God dealt with it in a complete different manner than what you ever thought. You may never know what happened. But one thing will happen is that you will have peace over the whole situation. It won't keep you up at night anymore. It won't make you angered anymore. It won't make you lose your peace. You'll have a calm assurance, you know, that God, as long as I don't think evil about that person, as long as I don't repay evil for evil, if I just absorb it and allow God to do what God needs to do, then there's a greater blessing there. We'll get into what Jesus taught. Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. And if you'll turn there, I'm going to turn that with you. Because I write these down, all the words in red here, they're all scripture. All right, but I still like to use my Bible because, as y'all know, I have read the wrong spot before. And so it was 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and following. Is that right? 3:8. And, I'm in 2. That's why it didn't look right. Ha-ha. Amen. 3:8. And here we go. 3:8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful and courteous. Wow. What? Come on, folks. What would happen if we really just believed that verse right there? Be kind, be love as brethren, being pitiful and courteous. Not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but counterwise blessing. Knowing that ye that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good of days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and eschew it. Ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Okay, what do you want? Do you want God to be on your side, or do you want to be on God's side, or do you want him to be against you? There's some scripture right here. First, I need to be kind, especially to the brother. We need to have one mind of compassion. We need to love and not render evil for evil. You know, don't think, because once you start thinking of evil, contemplating that, then you've lost the essence of Christ in your life. The charity of God starts to decrease, and the envy and self-righteousness starts to increase, thus separating you further and further and further from the spot that God wants you to be in. And we're not supposed to be separated from God, but we're supposed to be brought together in Christ in the bond of love, in the bond of perfection. So in this that Peter is talking about here, don't render evil for evil or railing for railing, but counterwise a blessing. Jesus talked about this in the Beatitudes. We're going to get to that because we got time. Amen? And so he says here, and well, I say that. Thank you, Lord. We'll try to get that because it looks like right now we have time. But as y'all know, the Spirit of God sometimes makes me run like a fluid river. So keep me in prayer for that. We don't follow out the lust of our flesh to repay or to fight back somebody who does evil or what we conceive as evil to us. Do you understand, or do you even believe this, that God will allow something into your life that hurts you in one way that makes you grow in another?
Absolutely.
Okay. Will God use ungodly people to put you in a position that it hurts you physically, financially, emotionally? Or to test you? I'm going to test you with this. I'm going to bring something bad into your life. I'm going to bring something in that you can't see the good out of immediately. Look at Job. I'm sure that the day that all of his family died, all of his crops were killed, all that stuff, all those things that happened to him, he wasn't saying, "Woo, praise God, what a great day, my whole family was destroyed today." How often do we not receive the fullness of God because of the hardness of our heart, accepting the evil that comes that we might grow thereby? Right? These are hard teachings because I don't want to do that. If you strike me on one cheek, chances are I'm going to punch you in the face. Or I used to, for sure. So, 20 years ago, that's what you could have done. You could have expected it. It would have happened, like, immediately. Mm-hmm. Today, maybe not so much. Why? Because I have grown in grace, and my flesh has died more and more and more. I'm not a striker anymore by the grace of God. I don't fight back when somebody steals from my business. Right? I'm a floor installer. I subcontracted, and I got took a lot. And I used to get very vengeful about that. And I'd go back, and I've been known to go into a place that didn't pay me and rip all the carpets out and throw them in a driveway. That's mean. Okay? Don't do that. It ruins your witness. It really does. And then especially when you got to go back and eat crow and reinstall all those carpets you just pulled out. Because you're not allowed to do that. Where was I going with that? Don't think evil. That person, if I would have just left that to God. All right, God, yeah, they didn't pay for the service. God, I'm not going to strike back. I'm not going to think evil of that person. I'm not going to put my desires into that situation. I'm going to trust you. Who knows what God would have done? That person may have come to salvation. They may have already come. I don't know, but I know one thing, that I caused problems in that because I acted on evil thoughts. Can I get an amen, or am I up here alone? All right? Not... Because I'm doing this, I'm like a turtle, I just pull all my shell off and go ahead. You know? So,
kick me.
We're with you.
Amen. Praise God. Because I think this is something that we really have a hard time with as humans, thinking no evil, especially when you look at it, what God says it does. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. All right, so maybe you don't pull out the rug from the person's house, but you talk evil about them to other people. Mm-hmm. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Right? Do you got that problem? I don't like what this is happening here, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to run your name down in the mud. I'm going to, you can murder somebody without ever sticking a knife in them.
Yeah.
You know that? You can murder their character by the words of your mouth. Thou shalt not murder. Now, that means don't physically kill them, but don't run their name down either. We're supposed to edify, especially those in the body of Christ. Now, as a Christian, you shouldn't do it to anybody, but especially those in the body of Christ. If something is going on in the body of Christ that I don't like, that is bothering me, you know what I do? Not that I have anything against you. But I come to you and I say, Josh, brother, you and I, we got to talk this thing out. There's this thing that's going on here, and let's work that together, right? And you know what Josh would do? Shoot me in the leg. No. No. What he would do is he'd say, yeah, let's sit down. Let's go grab an iced tea or a glass of water. Come to my house, and we'll chase the chickens around on a go-kart, right? We'll do something, and we'll get this thing worked out. But even in this body right here, as much love and as truth as we have right here, we still have the other thing that goes on. Shame on us. Because it ought not be that way. If I got a problem with you, let's talk it out. Instead of saying, well, I got a problem with you, I'm not coming back, and I'm going to talk about you when you ain't around, and I'm going to run your name down in the dirt. Let's stop that. If that's something that's in your heart, if that's something that's in your mind, let's stop that. And be the body of Christ, thinking no evil, not being malicious one to another. So I think that does more harm to the individual that does it than to the individual that it's done to. Remember, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. If you don't want it done to you, don't do it to others. Amen? Paul's letter to the church at Rome holds to the same idea. In Romans chapter 12, verses 14 through 18, he says, bless them which persecute you. Oh, wait, really? Okay, let me just start. Really, do I got to bless those who persecute me? Well, if I'm not going to think evil, then yes. If I'm really going to live in victory, then yes, I am going to be blessing those who persecute me. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and not and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but consent to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Prove things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peacefully with all men. So this puts it right back in your court. As it is with me, all right, even if there's a thing, I've got to live peacefully with as many folks as I can. See, what happens when we start thinking evil of those who persecute us, we start thinking evil of people that don't add up to what we think they add up to, all of a sudden, I'm not living in the unity that Christ has called me to live in. I put myself in a judgment seat. Well, I know what God needs to do to you, or in you, right? I know, Justin, it's God's not, you're not doing what God wants you to, right? I say that to Justin because I know better, and he knows better, right? He is doing exactly what God wants and needs him to do. As far as I can tell, I don't know. Anyhow, but far as I can tell, when you can know a good tree by the fruit that it bears, right?
Amen.
And he ain't bearing no lemons. He's a good apple tree. Apple tree that bears lemons is a bad apple tree. Sour all the way around. And but anyhow, see, if it is possible with you, how do I think not evil? How when I'm living in charity, when I'm living in the love of God, when I have this attribute on, I think not evil of men. So when Jesus was on the cross and they were nailing the spikes into him, what was the first thing he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How about trying that once in a while? Instead of living in condemnation or in judgment of or maliciousness or revenge of another person, Father, forgive them. They don't really know what their actions did to me. So help me to love them the way that you love the men that drove the nails into your hand. Help me to love them the way that you love the people that turned you over to Pilate to be scourged and crucified. See where I had a hard time with this? I hope it's bothering you. I really do, because if it bothers you, you're growing out of one state into another state. Bless those who persecute you. And don't curse them. So not only when they do something bad to you, love them, bless them, and then don't even say anything bad about them. Well, go ahead, say that again.
That's the hard part.
That's the hard part.
I've been guilty lately.
Amen. Yeah, well, lately, my whole life.
People. Yeah, it hurts worse when it's another believer.
Yes.
A church leader that does it to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
It costs you big time.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you can lose your whole reputation, especially when the body of Christ starts dogging you down instead of lifting you up. See, and maybe even the things that happen, nobody needs to know except for you and that person, right? You don't need to put your dirty laundry on the line. Love people. Especially don't put your dirty laundry on somebody else's line. That's really bad. Yeah. Living without this thought of evil towards other people is an extremely difficult thing to do. When we allow the meditation or thinking of evil over the Word of God, see, God's Word tells us not to, but our flesh tells us that's what we've got to do to get even. We've got to get even with you. So instead of blessing and helping and growing and coming along and edifying one another, what I'm going to do is I'm going to build a wall here. Right? I'm going to set myself inside of that wall, and I think that I'm safe. When I'm in that wall, and whoever's in that wall with me, we're going to start stabbing at other people's character, putting them down, thinking more of ourselves than we think of them, because that's really what it is. You start lifting yourself up. Stop submitting to God, because when you submit to God, then you think no evil of others, because that's one of the characteristics of Christ. He didn't think evil of them as they were pounding the thorns or spitting in his face or ripping his beard out. In fact, we will get to Matthew chapter 5. Turn over there and I'll come with you. This needs to be your attitude. What they call the Beatitudes. And, or the Sermon on the Mount, either way you want to call it. Chapter 5 has, well, actually, the whole book has a lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff, like there's any bad stuff in it. Now, in this understanding what Jesus is talking about here, we'll be in starting, I have 37 starting, 537. It's not a horrible place to start. But if you really want to get the whole thing, go back to Matthew chapter 4 and start. But to get this idea spoken about, 37 says, but let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. All right, just be honest, yes or no. Right? Don't add on, don't take away, because you want to stay away from evil thoughts and evil things. You want to stay in the hello. Want me to answer it for you? No, you ain't. I thought it was my phone. That rings like my phone does. I was going to run back to my office and shut it off. And so, anyhow. Amen. Don't think evil of that. All right? Yeah, here, don't think evil of it, because things happen. I think God allowed that to happen on purpose. You know? But let your communication be yea and nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. You have heard it been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. How many have heard that? You do to me, I'm going to do back to you. And not only going to do to you, I'm going to do worse to you than you did to me. But Jesus says, but I say unto you, that you should not resist the evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy cheek, right cheek, turn him the other also. Alright? Think no evil of the person who does evil to you. Don't think evil of a dog that bites you. You don't know what that dog's been through. Right? You don't know exactly. Now, if he's trained by you, that's there. I'm talking about a dog caught in a trap. Right? Have you ever tried to get a dog out of a trap? Something that's hurting them or pulling a thorn out of their paw or something like that? All they know is that you're messing with something that hurts them. And they will snap, growl, and bite at you. You try to give a dog a bath, right? Especially one that doesn't like it. And there are some dogs that like baths, all right? I have not had one of those. All the dogs I've ever had, they struggle with you in the bathtub. Right? Because they don't like that. You're not trying to hurt the dog. You're trying to help the dog, right? But it doesn't understand that. It thinks you're trying to drown it a cup at a time. And so he's going to fight back at you on that. Same thing with somebody who is trapped in the snares of Satan. You might be trying to let them free. All they think of is that you're trying to hurt them. Take away something that they want. And then they're going to strike out evil at you. They're going to do what is natural to you. They will smite you on the right cheek. They will do their best to hurt you. Don't think evil about that. Love them anyhow. Right? I think about the folks who say malicious things about this body of believers here. I don't like it, but I can't think maliciously about them. Right? I think of the way that it's worked out in my life over the years, you know, because I would be a miserable cuss if I just dwelt on the bad things all the time. And so, don't forgive them. Do forgive them. Don't repay evil for evil, as Jesus said. If any man sue you by the law, well, all right, that is somebody's going to sue you. You want to think evil about them, right? Mm-hmm. Dirty, rust, right? You don't think evil. Well, the Bible says don't do that. If any man sue you at the law to take away your coat, thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Who here's done that? I haven't done that. I fight tooth and nail. That means I'm coming short of the charity that God's trying to build in me, because I want to take vengeance. I want to defend myself. I want to fight back. He said, don't fight back. Why? Because you might win a soul. Yeah, you might take them to court and win in the court case, but you may lose somebody who could have gotten saved by the kindness of Christ. Anyhow. Whosoever shall compel thee to go one, to go a mile, go with him twain. Now, this is someone forcing you. All right, nobody's really asked me to go with them a mile. But they have called me in the middle of the night. You know? Hey, I have this problem. I'm sleeping, leave me alone. Well, that's not... What are you doing calling me this hour of the day, right? All right, they're asking you to go with them a mile. Go outside of your comfort zone. Say, all right, brother, not only will I get up and talk to you, I'm going to go and meet you where you're at. We're going to have a cup of coffee. We're going to talk about this thing. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, and I need coffee.
Well, and this saying comes from the soldiers.
Yes.
Would take a boy, and he would have to carry his goods for a mile.
For a mile.
And he could, that's the furthest a soldier could make him carry it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's saying here, he makes you carry it a mile, carry it a second
carry
mile.
Carry it a second mile. Show more grace. Show more goodness. Don't think evil of the soldier. Don't think evil of that individual. Don't think evil about them. Don't just do what they're asking. Go the extra mile. Go the extra spot. Why? Because you might bring that person to Christ. It may be not you, but just your testimony of love and gentleness and not thinking evil about doing that might change a life. Verse 42, give to him that asked thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. I have lost more tools for this saying. But even saying that, that's thinking evil of that individual. I stop that. See, I'm preaching this, and as I'm talking about it, it's still in me to think evil about it. Somebody borrows from you? Thank you, Lord, for this. If you loan to somebody, never expect to receive it back. That's the key. How do you do that? How do you not think evil of somebody who borrows from you? Loaning your lawnmower, never expect to see it again. It's just part of it. Loaning your tool, never expect to see it again. Because if it comes back, praise God. But it's not, big deal. Right? So, loan and don't hold back. Verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans, tax collectors, all right, publicans the same? If ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than the others? Do not even the publicans do so? But be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Be perfect. Being perfect is understanding these attributes of charity and applying them in your life in real life situations. This thinking no evil of circumstances or people, to me, is one of the hardest things to do. I struggle with that. Well, actually, I think every time that we went into one of these charity things, I tell you, start out, I struggle with that. I do. I'm having a hard time with it because my flesh is telling me one thing where the Spirit of God is telling me something. There is a war going on inside of me because my flesh says, somebody sues me, I'm taking you to court, I'm getting the best lawyer, I'm going to fight you tooth and nail. Where God says, well, no, let him have it. Not only that, give him your underwear also. You know, if somebody takes your outer garment, give him your undergarment. That's really what he's saying. Let him have it. Do you think God's going to take care of you? Let me ask you, church, do you think that God will take care of you? I absolutely do. If you do the right thing, if you stay inside of these boundaries that God has set up for you, it may look bad at the beginning, but at the end there may be a great blessing. Oh, where is an Amos about the canker worm, right? That the canker worm came and he destroyed, but God...
Joel.
Do you know where it is? Up top?
I think it's one or two.
No, this is different. This is a canker worm. This is about a worm that actually comes and destroys your crops.
Oh, it's Jonah.
Yeah, the Palmer worm. Yeah, it's Joel chapter 1 and verse 4. That which the Palmer worm hath left hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left the canker worm eaten, that which the canker worm hath left the caterpillar hath eaten, Awaken, ye drunkards, weep and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine is cut off from your mouth, the nation. Now, that's not the right one, I think. So, actually, we've had it several different times spoken here. There's Joel. I'm pretty sure the one that I'm thinking of is in Amos, that that God will take what has been, he will replenish what was taken away. If you do the things right with him, if you do things his way, what the enemy is going to come and remove from you, he will replace in you. Job is a good expression of this in a longer story. The Lord allowed Lucifer to come and take all of his physical stuff, right, all those things away. But at the end of that, he replaced it.
Joel 2:25.
Well, good. Go ahead.
I will restore unto you the years that the locust had eaten, and the caterpillar, and the caterpillar, and the pollinator, and the great army which I sent among you.
Yes. Amen. That which I sent among you, right? God sent these things into Israel to correct them, to take away the stuff that made them puffed up. See, when we start thinking evil of others, we become puffed up. And God says, let me take these things away from you that I might restore you later. If we come to these scriptures, these 16 characteristics of Christianity, of charity, and really apply them in our lives, it's going to kill us to start with, but it's going to strengthen you over the long run. Mm-hmm. It's going to hurt, right, to start with, to stop your stinking thinking. It bothers you. And I say you because it bothers me. I think we're the same here, right? We have like passions, we got like problems, we got things that we deal with. If I handle those things in a godly manner, a charitable, charity manner, right, the way that Jesus would handle whatever situations that come up, if I handle them, God helps me to die to my flesh and live to the Spirit. He helps me to hold on to the things that are good and get rid of the things that are bad. But if I do the other side, if I start thinking evil, then I've lost the charity, that attribute of God that needs to live inside of me. I lose that because of my thought process of vengeance and malice and revenge.
Grieve the Spirit.
We grieve the Spirit. Yeah. We grieve the Spirit. It's not that he leaves us, because he can't leave us until today, right? Mm-hmm. So as we do that, as we do those things that hurt the scripture in the eyes of the world and in the eyes of the church, we do a great injustice to the God who saved us. So in these 16 characteristics, we're only on 9, right? So we've got a few more to go. Apply these in your life. These, I think it's the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The first 10 of these characteristics are disciplines that you need to, that you can, all right? I can't say need, because then I'm thinking evil of you, because I don't think you're getting it. All right, stop that. That's my stinking thinking. These first 10 characteristics are things that you can improve in your life with discipline, right, with discipleship. The others that we'll get into: rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails. Those are all things that God does in you as you do the other. Right? As you apply these other things, then God starts doing things, adding things to you. He gives you peace. He gives you hope. He gives you strength. He gives you endurance. He gives you the ability to long suffer. He gives you the ability to be kind, that the ability to envieth not, the ability to vaunteth not, the ability not to be puffed up, the ability not to do unseemly things, the ability not to seek your own way. See, if I don't have him, I can't do any of it. But if I don't practice the things that he's given me, I become weaker in those things and can't accomplish nothing that God would have me to do. So I said all that to say this. I love you. I don't want to see you come short in any spiritual gap. The reason I really believe that the reason that God gave me this, how many weeks ago? 30 maybe? 30 weeks ago gave me this idea, this platform to work off of, to become an overcomer, is that I think time's shorter than what we realize it is. And I really do believe that there's coming a day shortly that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. You got to fess up, brothers and sisters. That time is closer than when we first believed. And we might be at the threshold of these things happening. So let's get ready today for the glory of tomorrow. Let's get ready today in the battle. See, if we don't enter into the battle, then we will not be able to stand when the evil day comes. So if I start taking these first 10 attributes of Christ and applying them in my life in a real modern understanding of them, I don't mean modern in the world, I mean modern in my thinking. It needs to be real to me. It needs to be real to me. It's not some high in the sky, way off type of teaching. This is something that needs to be done in the right now in us to prepare for the tomorrow fight. I love you. I don't want to see you come short in anything. And if we start thinking more highly of ourselves, if we start thinking evil of others, if we start degrading other people, especially in the body of Christ, there may be hell to pay. You know, I don't mean that lightly. You'll definitely forfeit the peace of Christ. And if you continually live in that, you may forfeit more than just the peace of Christ. Anyhow. I love you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I don't know what I got. Yeah, I don't know. Shut up. Okay. Dear Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, Father. I pray for this series that we've been going over, Lord God. I pray that you're working, Father. I don't need to see it. I just pray that the Holy Spirit is working in this body and drawing us closer to the love relationship that you have for us. Lord, help us to live in charity. Help us to live, Father, in the holiness and the righteousness of God, that your name would be above every name in our personal lives in our right now time. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things. We do pray for a healing of the sick, Father. We pray by faith that your word is going out and doing exactly what you have it to do. Lord, we thank you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Darling,